You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob, and Happy New Year.
Jim. I got to say, it's a gray morning here in Vancouver with a drizzle. How about that?
Well, I was up real early this morning, and nothing but fog here in New Westminster.
All right.
It's cleared off since, but
we're
right on the river.
Yeah.
Sometimes
when I look down towards the ocean, there's a whole verge of big evergreen trees along the cliff, and sometimes the fog will be coming through that, and I like it then. Fog is a feature, more or less rain and sometimes fog are a feature of Vancouver winters.
Yeah, wet and mild.
Yeah.
Not very cold. Bob, taking a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye today, San Francisco house prices plunge amid high-tech layoffs.
Yeah, that finally hooked up. And, of course, downtown part of San Francisco has been destroyed by, allowing needle users and, street people to hang out and destroy the shopping area and down there, and then now, because of the amount of money being lost by tech people, the people moving offices to say Texas or wherever, there's now lots of office space available, and probably some residential as well. So, fascinating how these things move along.
I wonder if the layoffs are related to AI. Is AI doing some of those jobs now?
Well, you can put AI on any reasoning you want to do these days. Yeah, things are good, AI is doing it. Things are bad, AI is doing it. So there we are.
Santa must have been busy elsewhere because no Santa rally this year. Stocks suffer their worst year-end plunge since 1966 over fears of stagflation.
Yeah, now that was a tremendous hit into the middle of December, and that's a very good headline on it, Jim. And what it shows is that there is no depth to the market. The excited buyers had bought, and there was no staged orders of any significance below, so I took it as a very big warning on the maturity of the bull market we have been in.
Well, apart from NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, Netflix, they're more than the FANGs, but apart from them, the stock market was going down, they held it up.
Yeah, the S&P wasn't doing anything too much without the leadership of those fabulous stocks. So the lack of breadth was the main instruction from that whack. So, and you have to respect it. So then you've sometimes January can be a positive month, but we're just sort of taking it as that sometime after March, commodities such as copper and crude oil and even the grains could start weakening a little, and then perhaps to a more severe drop after mid-year. There's still a lot of commodity bulls out there. They are seeing a reckless Fed, and they're seeing inflation and let's buy commodities, but the reckless Fed has got everything distorted to the point where it is now, and as we've seen in the stock market, it is very vulnerable.
The U.S. dollar had its best year in almost a decade. Is the greenback going to continue to be strong?
Yeah. I've got four main features that describe the transition from a great bubble to a great depression. And you can say that they're more or less on track. Now, one of them is the senior currency becoming chronically firm. And the DX is becoming chronically firm. Another one is that real long interest rates, that's adjusted for inflation, go up, and they've increased from almost minus one to now about plus three, no, 2.5. So actually, real long rates are up by about 3 percentage points, and it's been uncomfortable. But in the typical post-bubble contraction, the increase in real long rates has been in the order of 10 percentage points, which is magnitudes above the problems we have so far. And, oh, yeah, the other one is that gold's real price goes up, and that's been acting well. And copper's real price goes down. And, yeah, since May last year, copper's, well, that was the excited part. Copper got up to $5.20, and it sold off. So, and then I haven't taken a look at it for a few weeks, but copper's real price is heading south. So our four benchmark features are saying we are in the transition from a great bubble to a great depression.
Is it unusual for guaranteed interest rates like on a GIC for the short-term rate to be higher than the long-term rate?
Oh, I don't follow GICs, I'm sorry.
Okay, I was just wondering about the short-term interest rate being higher than the long-term rate.
I guess in certain parts of the yield spectrum out there, but the T-bill rate has been going down, and the interest rate for long treasuries are going up. Oh, yeah, here's the other one. Junk has been wonderful until recently. It had a pretty strong high with upside readings, and it's just quietly had a little setback. Now, I suggest that when junk really rolls over, and let's face it, in bidding junk up like it has been, the public is showing absolutely no regard for risk, and the risk just gets bigger every month. So at some point, maybe around mid-year, the junk J&K can roll over in price, and that would be an interesting one to follow, because in a post-bubble contraction, the low-grade bond prices just get smashed. I mean, there's going to be hundreds of junk bond issues that will likely go into default. I mean, paying nothing, and you're absolutely hooped.
Are you still seeing signs that we're headed towards a recession? Canada's growth has been negligible.
Yeah, Canada's numbers are pretty poor. And as I said, four benchmark features are saying we're in the transition from a great bubble to, well, I call it a great depression, but let's just look at the first item, which would be a recession, a cyclical recession. And I think that is the forces of nature. Now, one of the things, yeah, here's the one. More than a year ago, the U.S. yield curve, which is the difference between long rates and short rates, it inverted, which was short rates getting above long rates, and that, on our charts back to 1857, has always been followed by a recession. So all the signs are out there. Oh, yeah, one other one we like to follow in the stock market, and it's called, now, Jim, get this, the Hindenburg Omen. And the Hindenburg Omen is a calculation of 52-week highs and 52-week lows, and then a little arithmetic on it, and it's been polished up to work. So the way it does work is that not every Hindenburg has been followed by a crash, but every crash has been preceded by a Hindenburg, and we've had a couple of confirmed Hindenburgs out there, so that's another big warning on the table. Mm-hmm.
Another headline from our friends at thetrendletter.com. Oil gains in slow year-end trading with focus on 2025 risks.
Yeah.
What's happening there, Bob?
It's been in a trading range, and it had a high, October maybe it was, and then it's had a sharp correction there. And I think it'll trade sideways to slightly up into the first quarter. And then later on, along with other commodities and along with a chronically firm U.S. dollar, crude oil head south.
We'll take a look at more headlines when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline, New York governor signs bill that will charge oil and gas firms $75 billion, but critics say customers will foot the tab. Well, where else will they get the money?
Yeah. Well, that's the one where they've declared that oil and gas is evil, and because it is evil, we can tax it. And that's what they're about. And there's also a further nuance to that, is that when you do try and turn people from using less of a product, that's just straight authoritarianism. Being imposed. So,
wouldn't tariffs be authoritarianism then? Because you're trying to prevent people from buying foreign products.
Not really. No, you've had tariffs throughout history, and
how well do they work out?
Let's get on to this one. The point of Trump's tariff against Canada is to force the enforcement of Canada's borders so that they're not sending down terrorists and radicals and everything else to the U.S. And that's what it's all about. And I think it'll be effective. Alberta was very quick to move on it. And unfortunately, it looks like Trudeau is going to try and make a campaign issue out of it, but they should be just kind of shutting down the border to bad people and then no tariff.
Now, headline here, the effects of brain rot, how junk content is damaging our brains.
It could be true. The loss of critical thinking out there generally has been impressive. Well, you've got people who think that they're breathing out of carbon dioxide is going to change the weather. I mean, I can't believe it. There's so much substance in the way climate and weather really works. But hey, they go for it, and it of course it's a controlling item. But there's a lot of brain rot out there.
Yeah, I don't want to say segueing to another subject, but the Trudeau government's lack of effort to get Canadian LNG out to the world. If you wanted to reduce so-called greenhouse gases, isn't natural gas a whole lot better than coal?
Oh, it's outstanding. And, I don't know, maybe three, three, four years ago, there were two major figures from Europe, maybe Germany, somewhere else, visited Trudeau specifically to start work on getting Canadian liquid natural gas. And Trudeau dismissed them out of hand. No, no, it's evil, and nope, you're not going to get any natural gas from us. Now, there has been a plant under construction at Kitimat. I believe it's still going ahead. And there are some exports of natural gas, but Canada could have been a major exporter of natural gas, which is an ideal fuel.
Well, especially with Ukraine closing the taps on Russian natural gas getting to the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
And if Canada had jumped on this right away, we could have had an LNG terminal. Of course, Quebec doesn't want pipelines for some reason.
Well, they don't
even though
want
they're the bigger
in Quebec.
Yeah.
But they want the West energy, and what they really want is the money from the West. I think it's about $14 billion annually from the Western provinces, and it's called equalization payments. Can you believe it?
Yes, Quebec doesn't want us to export to Europe, so we have the money to develop more fuel resources. But they don't mind buying Arab oil for their giant SUVs because Quebecers love their giant trucks.
Yeah, the same with the Irving refinery in the Atlantic provinces somewhere. They would sooner get their feed from Venezuela, dictators, rather than from Canada. I mean, they're unbelievable.
Bob, anything else you think we should be keeping a close eye on right now? I guess maybe we should take a look at how gold juniors are doing.
Oh, yeah. It was a year ago in December when we came up with our list of, I think it's about 11 junior gold stocks. And they sort of traded up and down for a few months. But then, I think at one point they were up 30%. And now they're back off a bit. But what I like about it is that you have a diverse position, and when the juniors begin to go, they outperform the seniors and the middling size. And then if one of your companies comes up with a discovery, you can get a fabulous move out of them. I can remember, 1996, we did a list of five juniors. And one of them was Arequipa. And when I made the list, it was just a penny stock. Well, it went to $30 and a $1.1 billion market cap. Now, that one makes you really feel good, you know. So you don't know whether you're going to have one or not, but the chances are we're in the early stages of a long bull market for gold stocks, and within that, there will be times of fabulous moves, particularly with a junior that comes up with a highly recognizable discovery. And I'm looking forward to it, Jim.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, good to be with you. And I think we're going to have a fun year.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.